This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z-Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, AWACX, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel, BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. All right. So I'm reading the news. Paper again and listening to the news. And so I listened to our prime minister say that the government will not stand idly by and watch inflation ravage Bahamians, I think was the essence of his sentiments about dealing with inflation. And and so I thought maybe we might revisit this issue a little bit again because it's a brave stand. No pun intended, really no pun intended, on the Prime Minister's part to suggest that there will not be any standing idly by. So what we're going to do is I want to mention some things about the history of inflation in the Bahamas first, and then talk about some ways the government might seek to respond to what is happening with inflation, but still not be fighting inflation. It might be fighting against inflation, but they won't be fighting inflation, right? It certainly won't be beating inflation. Wouldn't be even an attempt to beat it, but we'll get to that later. So between 1987 and 1992, so you'll notice that these are electoral periods that I'm going to be looking at. Between 1987 and 1992, the cumulative inflation in the Bahamas was 26%. Meaning if you add up inflation each of 5 years in that period, the cumulative inflation was 26%. That's 1987 to 1992. Between 1992 and 1997, So that period I talked about before was the last term of the Pinling administration. Between 1992 and 1997, which was the first term of the Ingram administration, the first Ingram administration, was 8%. The cumulative inflation, 8% compared to in the previous 5 years, 26%. So you notice how extraordinary inflation was in that period compared to the 92 to 97, which was essentially what our inflation would average around, little under 2%, 2% over the period annually, 2%. Between 97 and 2002, which was the second Ingram administration of which I was a member, the cumulative inflation over that period was 9%. So we go from 21%, 87 to 92, to 8%, 92 to 97, to 9%, 97 to 2002. And then from 2002 to 2007, which was the first Christie administration, cumulative inflation was 11%. 11%, okay? Between 2007 and 2012, which was the third non-consecutive term of the Ingram administration, I was a part of that as well, the cumulative inflation was 8%, the same as it was between 92 and 97. So we went from 26% cumulative 87 to 92 to 8% 92 to 97 to 9% 97 to 2002 to 11% 2002 to 2007 to 8% 2007-2012. So you can tell that over this couple of decades, inflation in the Bahamas outside of 87 and 92 was typically between 7% and 9 and 12%, okay? Typically, over a five-year span. Between 2012 and 2017, which was the final Christie administration, cumulative inflation over that five-year period was 7%, right? In keeping with what we are accustomed to in the Bahamas. So now we come to 2017 to 2021. This is the Minnis administration. And the cumulative inflation over that period was 9.5%. Again, between the 7 and 12% that we have seen five year to five-year, saving and except for 87 to 92. So if somebody asked you, what is typical inflation in the Bahamas over a five-year period? The answer would be around 8%. That would be what is typical. Certainly, as a range, between 7% and 12% cumulative inflation. That's an average inflation of just around 2% or under 2% a year. And now we come to this period of 2020 to 2022. And we have a single year inflation of 8%. So now you see why the extraordinary alarm about how high inflation is, because relatively speaking, we are used to having annual inflation of about 2% or under, and cumulative inflation over 5 years of about 7-8%. But here we have in one single year an inflation rate of 6-8%. Now, between 2020 and 2022, okay, 2021 and 2022, cumulative inflation will be about 11.8%, about 12%. Okay, just around what we saw in 2002 to 2007 over a five-year period. So that's just 2 years of almost 12% inflation. If we continue on forecast what is being forecasted to be inflation for 2023, we should see about inflation, cumulative inflation for 3 years of about 15%, 4 years about 18%, 5 years about 21%. Now, hear me. Over that five-year period, if forecast holds, we will still not have come to the level of inflation cumulative that was experienced between 87 and 92, which was cumulative 26%. So to suggest that this is historic for the Bahamas as an unprecedented would not be correct given what we know happened between 87 and 92. But compared to what has happened since 1992, this is certainly a historic level of inflation we will have seen. Okay, so that there is concern about what is happening is warranted given what we are accustomed to for sure. The forecast does call, however, for inflation to get back around 2.something% by 2025. So that's what's being forecasted. So the it is not expected that we will see this enduring 6%, 8%, 7% level of inflation beyond 2024. That notwithstanding, you still have a couple of years to deal with higher than normal levels of inflation. Now, let's put this into some context also. While we are talking, when you hear the figure 8% inflation, that's the weighted average inflation of the box of metrics that the Department of Statistics, well, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute uses to measure inflation. So that is the, that includes food, that includes home food, restaurant food, that includes transportation, healthcare, and all those things weighted for the proportion of each item as a percentage of your perceived spending. So inflation on food might in fact be 3%, not 8%. Inflation on transportation, because of fuel costs, might be 11%. Inflation on housing might be 6%, not 8%. So you have within that mix different categories of spending, prices moving at a different rate. So not everything is 8%. It isn't necessarily true that food costs went up 8%. It could have been 3%. It could have been the restaurant cost went up 7% or 9%, but food costs only went up 3%. So we'd have to actually see the details of the individual categories which the institute does capture to see what was happening on individual categories of spending. But the weighted average is 8%, okay? That's it. What I just mentioned about the mix is important because prices of different categories of things, food, transportation, housing, et cetera, are moving at different rates. Inflation doesn't affect every group the same. So for instance, the poor, the very poor, who spend most of their money on food would have the biggest impact on their lives on food inflation, not the necessarily overall inflation. Middle-income people who have cars and drive about a lot and so forth may have that impact more so. They may also have some health insurance. They might more on health insurance, transportation. So different, the rich that spends a lot on luxury items may have a different experience of inflation than, say, what the poor may have, because food is a bigger percentage of their spend than what it might be for the rich. And the reason why it's important to take that into consideration is when the government attempts to respond to inflation, one, the government cannot beat back inflation. I think we made that clear the last time we spoke on the show, which is that because the source of the inflation is external to the Bahamas, exogenous to the Bahamas, if you cannot tackle the inflation, the cause and origin of it from its source, which is outside of the Bahamas, then you cannot tackle it at all. I mean, you can't stop it, right? Because if we're buying things from the United States and prices in the United States are going up, then we can't stop importing that inflation unless we don't buy from the United States. And we'd have to find a substitute that isn't experiencing the same kind of price inflation, which would be very hard in this world because most countries, regions are experiencing this inflationary pressure. So fighting the inflation as to slow it down, as to stop it, this is not within the power of the government of the Bahamas. It is not. So what the government can do has to be about providing either relief to consumers or a break to consumers. And since not all consumers in the Bahamas are being affected by inflation the same, policy measures with respect to breaks or relief should or may take into account the different experiences that people are having with inflation. So what is done for the poor might be slightly different than what is done for the middle income or what is done for the rich, if anything is done for the rich at all. Okay? So I hope that helps you to have some perspective, better perspective perhaps, on this inflation issue that we are dealing with. The Prime Minister says the government will not stand idly by and let this inflation ravage Bahamians. So the question then becomes one of, what can the government do? So when we come back, how about we toss around some ideas and see how doable they are, what the impact might be, and thrash it out. It's a kind of brainstorming, right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio. Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we are visiting this topic again of inflation, largely because the Prime Minister has indicated, you know, that the government isn't going to sit by idly and watch people be so heavily impacted by inflation. I think we have already made the point that what the government can do to fight inflation is really limited, but that maybe there's relief to be brought. We have a text here actually that speaks to a similar point. This text says, the government of the Bahamas did not cause inflation and can do basically nothing to control or reduce inflation. But the government of the Bahamas can use some of its resources, albeit scarce, to bring relief to its citizenry affected by inflation. That is precisely what we are suggesting here. So let's look at what the government can do, okay? Let's look at what the government can do. So let's take the poor in particular. Let's take people who really aren't spending on luxury items and stuff like that. And they don't have medical insurance. They don't have fancy cars at all. So they might be driving the bus, using the buses. Basically, they are paying rent and buying their food and, you know, maybe some clothing and what have you, but not so much. And so the question is, cost of food is going up. If the government wishes to know how much, the government can consult with the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, and it can indicate to the government what its measure, if it has measured to this point, of food inflation is. Similarly, well, it can't. We know the bus fare hasn't gone up because the government has that price control and the government has given no agreement for bus fare to rise. So inflation hasn't affected bus fare. Okay. Rent. I don't think there has been any appreciation of rent as a matter of inflation. So largely, if you're the poor, the impact might be on your food cost. So what might the government do to bring relief to the poor? And by extension, it will end up always being for the middle income as well, on food. What could the government do? Now, some of the things the government can do, you might regard as draconian. Let me tell you, the government can, by law, freeze prices on food items or some food items. It can. If it can price control, the government could freeze the price. The government could say to the food stores, listen, there'll be no more increases in prices. I don't care what the inflation is. It might be regarded as unfair, but the government could do that. It could declare an exigency. And, or it could just price control all the stuff, all on them, put them all on the price control list and say, you want to increase this price, you come to me and I'll tell you what you can do. The government could do that now. If the government did that, what do you think the food stores would do? Do you think the food stores would be minded to go keep ordering, especially if their margins are being narrowed, if their price flexibility is being constricted? What do you think the food stores would do? Yeah, if it worked, it would help the poor, because now we know the prices at least won't go up any further than it is now. So whatever the inflation is, the food stores would have to suck it up. They would have to absorb it. If they continue to buy the stuff, they absorb the higher cost and keep extending to you the same price. What do you think the food stores will do? Anybody? If you say the food stores will probably start considering retrenching their businesses, or some of them might even think, depending on how serious and how long, closing the business, I think that that's very realistic. I think there'd be a revolt. But the government could do that. The government could do that for the poor. Or the government might decide, okay, let's look at staple items that the poor use in terms of food. And a number of them are already price controlled. So we could look at rice and some meats, maybe poultry, you know, maybe turkey wings, I don't know. Look at some of those meats and then decide, okay, well, we price control those. They may not be price controlled now, the rice is, but the meats are, we price control those. And the government might look at other areas it thinks represents typical purchases for the poor. And the government might decide to price control them as opposed to the broad range of items in the stores. That's a possible, extend the price control list. How might the stores react to that? They might like it, but it won't be as severe as a freeze on price rises, or as a exhaustive increase of the price control listing. And so maybe that could be a little help, and they could do this for a period of time over which this extraordinary inflation lasts. So they might do that. It will have, it could have some effect, you know. I'm sure the poor might like it. Or the government could say, you know what, let's look at the inflation on food. Maybe it's 3%, maybe it's 4%, maybe it's 5%, maybe it's 7%, maybe it's 8%. What does that mean for a typical impoverished household? Spending what on food on a weekly basis? Maybe $100, and I think that's a lot for the poor, because that's like $400 a month. Who knows? Let's say it's $100 a week. Let's just say, I'm saying, I think it's, it can't be $100 a week. Let's say it's $200 a month. So let's say $50 a week. So, and the inflation is 8%. So we're talking about 8% of $200, right? Which is $16. So now we say the poor is experiencing a $16 higher spend on a monthly basis than normal. Might the government then decide to grant those who qualify, and they could make submissions into the social Department of Social Services, and the government might decide to subsidize their food by giving a voucher of $16. So now you've just countered the impact of inflation on the poor. Again, this isn't for the middle income, because you're deciding, well, the middle income might need their thing in a different area. But I'm just saying this is something you can decide to do. So that's a direct cash transfer to the poor. Now, let's say that the poor represents, and I'm just using the number, 20,000 people, right? So you want to help 20,000 people through this subvention. At $16 a month, that's $320,000. If you did that for a year, that'll cost you $3.8 million. If you did it for, you did that for a year. Unless the inflation drops the next year and it drops down to say 4%, Now you are doing it on $8 as opposed to $16. And so your cost decreases. But again, it represents a direct cash subvention to the poor to mitigate the impact of inflation on their food. Somebody talk to me. Tell me what you think. What do you think? It's a tax. It's taxpayer money spending. So you're helping the poor. The government might decide to cut out some spending in some area and use that to do this. Right? It might decide to do that. But it already gave $50 million to social services now. So maybe some of that is in there. But what do you think? For the poor. We're just talking about the poor right now. Direct cash subvention, right? Transportation hasn't changed. If they're using the jitneys because the jitney price hasn't been increased. The jitneys may need some subsidization because of the higher fuel cost. But you want to help the poor? The government could do that. Ain't fighting inflation. It's fighting against inflation using this cash transfer to do so. Okay, so that's what else might the government do for the poor? I can't imagine much else beyond that the government could do. I can't imagine. I mean, you could say you can increase minimum wage. Yeah, government could do that. But will that not have a reaction from the employers? It could very well, but you could do it. And that'll give a little additional income to the poor, and they could then use that to subsidize themselves against the higher cost of food. So let's look at the middle income. The middle income family would be affected by both food and transportation largely. I don't mean like a new purchase of a car, because I don't see too many middle income people buying new cars right now or even substantially used cars, right? But their fuel cost has gone up and their food cost has gone up. So they got fuel and food. I don't see there being any impact on mortgage at this point. If they have insurance, health, I see that going up. Hurricane, I see that going up for sure. Not necessarily as a consequence of inflation, but going up nonetheless. So what can the government do for them? Right? On the food, they're probably spending for $500 a month. Do you think the government should give them some cash transfers too? You think so? Of 8% on $500? You know, that's like $40. Yeah. On fuel, what can the government do? The government could reduce its taxes on fuel. It can do that, lose that revenue. And if it doesn't find some savings in spending, it's therefore going to end up with a higher deficit. Higher deficit means more borrowing. More borrowing, given the antagonistic market environment for bond issues, that could be a problem for the government, but it can do that. The government can reduce its tax take on fuel, and that would give a break on fuel costs to middle-income families who are spending that gas money. But there is some relief apparently coming because fuel prices in the United States of America is going down. So while ours tend to linger, it is the expectation that that's going to ease up too. And so they might get some natural relief. The government could decide that these middle income folks, many of them are property owners. Now, a number of them would qualify for exemption from property taxes already because they're under that $250,000 threshold. Those who are above it, the government might decide, okay, maybe we give some relief over time equivalent to the calculated cost of inflation on their circumstances. You know, the government might decide to do that. So if the government decides that amounts to, say, $200, the government could extend that relief over two pay periods of property taxes. Now, yes, the homeowners pays that upfront cost for inflation now, but they would get that back when they no longer have to pay that amount in real property taxes. They could do that. What you think? This says, what about things like reduction on cost of school supplies for poor? But who can reduce that? Remember, you can't, the school supplies are not being sold by the government, so the government can't give the reduction. The store has to give the reduction, unless you're saying the government could subsidize or remove the VAT on these items and hope that the store owners reduce the price accordingly. But it's not the government who can reduce the cost of those school supplies. It would be whether there's something the government can do that would encourage store owners to reduce the supplies. And yes, that's an idea for sure. Certainly an idea. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Talking inflation again, but not so much the inflation, but what the government can do, limited as it is, to bring some relief, to give a break to people who are being affected by inflation. This text says, great show as usual. So Lang, realistically, is there much the government could do with inflation because shipping has gone up worldwide? Shipping containers gone up drastically worldwide. Well, that's the point that we were making, is that what the government can do is limited in terms of doing anything about the cost, but they might be able to do something about what people actually spend in terms of relieving some of that spend. It says also the government don't want to piss off Rupert Roberts by messing with his business. Yeah, I don't think they want to, any business wants the government to get in their business, and that's a part of the challenge. This text says, recall some of those ambassadors and reduce the number of consultants recently appointed. And how is that going to help the poor? You mean, how's that? You mean they're going to use the savings to transfer the money to the poor? What are you likely to get by recalling those ambassadors? How much money is that likely to save? And is that going to be a wise thing? And if you are reducing the number of consultants, are you suggesting that they aren't needed? Just because they're consultants, you think they're not needed? Wouldn't it be necessary to find out whether you in fact need them? Assuming that was the reason why they were engaged to begin with? Or are they that dispensable now because of inflation? But I think your broader point is, you know, you can find ways to save and then transfer the savings to those in the country who need it because of inflation, right? What else might the government do for middle-income people? What else? What else might the government do? We talked about some relief on real property taxes going forward over the next maybe 2 years or so. And it wouldn't be big because, again, this inflation cost to a person, right? I this is one of the things I want you to see. Because see, sometimes we like, you know, we blow these things up. We blow these things up in our heads. But let's say inflation on food is 8%. If you were spending $500 a month on food and inflation is 8%, that means your cost went up $40. Okay, $40, not $400, $40. $40 in a year. Your costs would have gone up $480 in a year. Not $48,000, not $4,800, $480. Am I saying that ain't a lot of money? It's if you don't have to pay it, that's great. You don't want to. But let's put these things in perspective, please. So let's say even your health, your insurance goes up. Let's say you were paying, $6,000 a year on insurance. And let's say the rate went up 10%. That's higher than inflation. 10%. Then you experience a $600 increase. That's $50 a month added to your food. Right? That's $98. Not $900. Not $9,800. $98 a month. Right? Which is just over $1,000 a year. So let's put these things in some perspective. Right? And so you could, if you took your whole spending in a year and say, let's say that's the poor is not going to be spending in a year more than $20,000. Typically, that's a typical poor household, $20,000. 8% of $20,000 is like $1,600 in the whole year. Okay? If you're middle income, say $40,000, right, on 8%, that's $3,600 in the year, right? So what then, given those kinds of numbers, how does the government help? What does the government do? It's not going to be able, It can tell the food stores to put a freeze on price increases. It can do that. But I can tell you that'd be catastrophic. It could do that. It could extend the breadbasket items. It could do that. It won't be catastrophic, but it'll have there'll be some concerns. Because, you know, a food store don't have to carry them items, you know. They're not forced to do so. They are only forced not to increase the price without the Minister of Consumer Affairs signing off on it. And that's only like 20-something items. There are thousands of items in a food store, right? So what the government is being asked to do is to provide assistance on an impact on your spending that is certainly for so many people whose financial circumstances are tight, a bit painful, because you don't want any new costs at all, because you want to keep living your life and buying up all that stuff you've been buying, including all the outings you've been going out and the stuff you've been buying out and the luxury stuff you've been going on. You want to keep doing that, but the fact of the matter is, what the government can do is limited. Now, we've been talking about some of the things the government could do. And here's the thing. I've been asking you for some thoughts. You see how you might be turning over in your head saying, I don't know. Either I can't think of anything, or when I think of some, I think how maybe that can't be on work, so forth and so forth. That's the same thing the government has to do. Same thing. Sit right there. Sit down with people who get to have enough time to sit and think about these things. Sit down and think, okay, what can we do? Can we give a tax break? Can we give a cash transfer? Can we put a freeze on prices? Can we move the VAT on something? That's the same thing that has to happen. Same exact thing. There's no geniuses out there that just all of a sudden has the answers. Somebody has to sit and think through this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, just how difficult it is for you to come up with something that you think the government could do to help. That's just how difficult it is, because it is difficult, because what the government can do is limited. That's reality. The government, like all the rest of us, is essentially waiting for global logistical systems to loosen up, waiting for some of that cash that the U.S. and those put in the hands of its people during the pandemic to be withdrawn from the economy without sending it into a recession, and waiting for fuel prices spiked by the Ukraine war and some other issues, waiting for those prices to decrease. So that collectively, the effect of that is to reduce the rate of inflation. And then we won't be talking about this anymore, and the government will say, see, we did it. I'm just kidding. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Zeal Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us also on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So once again, we are at an interesting point in our country, right? Where this issue of inflation has become topical. It is something that people are feeling. And it's something that people are concerned about. But interestingly enough, on both sides of the political divide, the issue is being addressed as if it is something that the government can really profoundly tackle. And that's really interesting to me. That the government says it's not going to sit idly by and have this issue impact the people of the Bahamas. And then the opposition calls on the government to come up with a definitive plan for fighting it. Both groups have not taken the time to represent the limitations of the government, because if the Free National Movement becomes a government and this issue arises, I can almost guarantee you that it will have limited things it can do to beat back inflation. It will not be able to have a, in quote, definitive plan to do anything meaningful to fight back inflation. It might use some relief measures of the ones that we talked about, but again, even if done, they will not fight back inflation. They might help people to fight, to endure the inflation. So, but no one has talked about as much. Maybe just the headlines don't grab it as much. Maybe that's the problem. The extent to which these what is happening now calls for personal adjustments in behavior more than public policy responses. Neither. Because power never wants to seem powerless. And I understand that. The government doesn't want to seem as if it's doing nothing. It certainly may not want to concede it can't really do anything. So the government puts on the face of being willing and able to do something. The opposition wants to get the impression that if we are there, we can do something. And that's why we're calling on the government to do something definitive. But in point of fact, what the government can do is limited again. The government can do things now, don't get me wrong, but these are not things without consequences that come back at the people again in a costly way. So the government can do things, but it's not a simple matter of just acting for acting's sake. It has to be thoughtful, because you can do short-term things that have long-term consequences, or you can do long-term things that may cost you a little bit in the short term, all right? But again, there is this reluctance to speak frankly to yourselves, the people of the country about what is happening. It doesn't mean that you say to people, I can't do anything for you. No, you can say to people, listen, let me explain this issue and here's what we are doing. You hear a lot what we're considering, we're looking at, et cetera, and so forth. You hear that a lot, right? You haven't heard, here's what we're doing. On the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
No, I'm giving thanks. You know, what I would do as government is I would channel, put money into food sovereignty. You see, all of the contracts that I give out, all of the jobs, I would challenge them into food sovereignty.
Okay, can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
Inflation is now. Inflation is right now. Yes. How is that going to help with
you have to do things that's going to, okay, and okay. As well as, let me adjust inflation. All right, I would change the tax structure, even if it's temporary, where those that have the money, in the bank, and that you would tax them. Those who are less vulnerable, who has money to spend, or who has money saved, I would tax them and reimburse them later or give them breaks later.
What do you mean tax them? I don't understand. What do you mean you would tax somebody
has
money in the bank? So if I have $5,000 in the bank, you would tax me?
Tax your employment, tax your earnings. Those who are working, I tax their
earnings. Why though? Why are you taxing me to fight inflation?
You know, the government needs revenue. Government needs revenue to give vouchers to those who don't have to buy money to buy food.
Oh, I see. So you're saying the government should seek to do what I talked about in terms of transferring some cash to those who have a challenge, then tax people who have monies to be able to do it.
Right, but at the same time, we have farming goods, items that you can reap in short spaces of time. You know, the government.
Really?
We must.
What is a short space of time to commercially produce anything? Give me an example, because all the seeds I planted have like the day, have like 3-4 months,
you know,
harvest time.
Pardon?
I said all the seeds I have planted yesterday,
yes,
they have 3-4 months harvest time. And
no,
that's only,
you know, but
that's only me.
See, I remember when we had the pandemic, right? We had the same issue. We had the same issue 3 years ago, everything, and you know, nothing was done. You know, we had food security issues, food sovereignty issues, and we never made a step. But
my friend, hold on a minute. Just relax a minute. One minute. Inflation, you don't solve anything with respect to inflation by food security, because in fact, things produced home here are more expensive than things imported. And we use imported things a lot of times to help us grow the things we produce here.
Same way how the government subsidized the teaching that doesn't bring any money. The teachers don't get money when schools we don't pay for school fees. You know, we don't pay for policemen. We have to subsidize the police force. We have to subsidize the medical, the hospital. We have to subsidize many things. You know, why can't we subsidize our farm?
But the government does subsidize farms. What you're saying is you want the government to send monies to farmers so their prices could be lower.
Look what the U.S. is doing today. The U.S. have a problem with supply, right? Look what they did with the chip bill.
Right.
They had this, it costs, if they have to give exemptions, right? And in return, they would derive taxes from it. You see, in other words, eventually you have, and then it provides jobs.
I got you, my friend. I thank you very much. I appreciate it. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. Did we lose the caller? All right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm listening to the gentleman who called, and I'm not, you know, I'm challenging his ideas just to help him think through it. But he's trying to come up with some solutions to the challenges that we face. We just have to make sure that our solutions are addressing the particular problem. If inflation or higher costs now is your problem, you can do many things. Like, you can do things to help farmers so that later on they're growing foods. You could even subsidize the farmers so that they don't charge as much for their items as you want. That has its own set of complications, but it can be done. You can invest in R&D, research and development for the farmers, like they're doing for chip makers, like he said, in the United States, et cetera. Problem with all of that is the cost of food is going up today, right now. And none of that yields you a result right now. And so, yes, you can do it, and maybe it will yield you a result later on, but it doesn't yield you a result right now. So the question then becomes one of what is to be done right now. But what I was saying was that in the midst of this situation, here again, if you listen to the caller who just called, it is typical what we do. It's all about the government, what the government could do, right? And the government's conversation and the opposition's conversation has been what the government can do. And the problem with that conversation is anyone who fully appreciates, understands how the Bahamian economy works in a very practical way. This isn't about being an economist at all. It's just about how it works. And this is how it works. 90% of the things we use, consume, we buy from abroad. So our prices, first cost, is dictated by outside forces. So if those outside forces have factors working on them that makes their prices higher, our first cost is going to be higher. And we are therefore going to import that higher first cost. Now, who can do anything about that? Who in the Bahamas can do anything about that? Who in the Bahamas can fix the global transportation logistics, distribution logistics? Who in the Bahamas can fix the Ukraine war? Who in the Bahamas can set global fuel prices? No one in the Bahamas. So that first cost, whatever it is, we are going to incur it. If it's higher, we are going to incur it. On top of that cost, the distributors here in the Bahamas are looking at higher shipping costs. Can they do anything about that higher shipping cost? They cannot. So they're going to incur it. And they are going to pass it on. So we can't do anything about that. Not about that. But yet we're talking about what the government should do or can't do or shouldn't do to fight inflation. This is both the opposition and the government having that kind of conversation. As opposed to, as Gowan Bo, following upon some thoughts that I heard, saying, listen, man, let's be real. There's limited things the government can do to fight inflation. We have to talk about what we can do. It's Texas, Mr. Lang. I am so tired of listening to you talk on this radio. I hear you about it's not the government, but why don't you get back in the government and implement some of those good ideas? And government is where you should be. Leave the talking for others now. That I don't have to be in government for these things to be done. And I'm saying precisely something different, actually. I'm saying in this particular issue, on this particular issue, the things the government can do are limited, but we're not having that conversation about the limited fashion in which government can act. The things that I did mention are things that the government can do to bring some relief if it recognizes where the pain point is for various groups of Bahamians. It might be able to counter some of that pain by some of the things that we mentioned. So, but again, that's limited, even though it's something. But I'm trying to encourage us to have a better conversation, a broader conversation about how we talk to this society, because listen, if I were Prime Minister of the Bahamas today, Prime Minister Davis is doing a great deal of sharing public speaking abroad in particular about climate change. And there is certainly a place for that. But if I were Prime Minister today, amongst the other things I would be doing is I would systematically be having, yes, I'd be doing some things, but I'd be systematically having some conversations with the Indians about how we understand and think about this thing we have called a nation and an economy, because we are not all, we are not, forget all, too many of us aren't even on a page with respect to how things work. So our expectations are built on some fabricated, not truthful ways we think the place, the country behaves. And that becomes a problem for governing. We should be using these public platforms to help people see more clearly and understand better how things work. We shouldn't be saying things that kind of makes the issue more murky. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm okay, man. And yourself?
Yeah, okay. Hope your family doing well. I just listened to one of your last texts. I think you should be in government to help us with all these stuff. You and some of the old guys that went past, some of the old governors of the central bank and old ministers of education and finance and all of them. Sometimes I wonder why they don't grab all of y'all and bring y'all back on the scene in one big room and try and get this together. But, you know, and then most of the time on your advertisement, one of the main things you say is, most of you out there know me from politics. You know, that's one of your famous things. But, you know, we always said, Mr. Lang, we always have this faith that government is supposed to be continuous, right? We hear that over and over. But we always see that every time government changes, they come in, they stop, review, then they cancel. Last year...
Sparky.
Hold on 1 second, please, sir. Last year they told us that they were giving us some farmland, right? We're talking about farming now, right? But they told us that by November the 30th of last year, they was going to make a provision for the roadways to get to the farmland, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is on August of the next year. We still can. They gave us, a lot of us, they gave farmlands, 2 acres, 3 acres, 4 acres, off Gladstone Road. Mm-hmm. Now, to get to the farmland, to start plowing your land, to get it prepared to start your farm up, we can't even get to the farmland. We got all the documents, I got my piece of property, but they gave me, thank God, after all those years. But now to get to the property, to get, we have to get tractors to do the road where they said they were going to do, because they're still reviewing it now again. But that was in the agreement from when they gave us the thing. You understand? I would like to start my farm. I told you yesterday, my yard at home is full right out. I would like, I done got new plants and pots, like you say you're doing things in pots. I got my avocado, my mango, my trees, all done spring in the pots. I ready to go down every day and put down one, four, and five plants 20 feet apart in rows of avocados, mangoes, you name it. But we can't even get to the land.
Well, what are they reviewing? What are they reviewing?
I don't know what they're reviewing, but they haven't even started with the tractors cutting the road to the land yet. You could see the land from the air. You could see the land on the you know, the diagram they gave you, tell you this is your lot. Like, I got 3 acres. I'm 61, 62, 63. Then there's another fellow on the side of me, 60, 61, and 62. But now they get to the lot.
Yeah, you have to have a road to get there.
You have to have the road. Okay, the road goes off of Carmichael. When you come off of Carmichael into Gladstone, there's a little pub, a little bar on the corner. Then you go down to the side where they got those big electrical cables. You got to go way down in the west pass when government subdivision and when Rocky Road, and then turn north on the southwest side of the government property. I mean, where they have the farm, the experimental, whatever they do down there in Gladstone. The property layout is down in the back there. But now to actually get to your farmland, my own, I can hardly get to it. I can have to get a tractor for me to pass through there. I can have to clear other people's land to get to my own.
But who promised to cut the road?
This was what was said to me in the table in the conference room when they sat down with me and the people who were signing with me.
But who's the they? Who's the they?
The people that bought agriculture.
Oh, agriculture. Okay, okay. So you
That's what they told me. I'm telling you what they told me.
Okay.
But to this day, you call up there, most of the time you can't even get nobody to answer the phone other than a receptionist. You can't get to the permanent secretary. You can't get to nobody. Because nobody can tell you what's going on.
But your signing was under a former administration?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I see. Okay.
But they say government is continuous, right?
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. You said they said they were doing it.
I like you. I want to start my farm tomorrow morning. I want to go put down 3 trees.
But I
can't even get to the property to do that.
Okay, well, let's see. Minister of Agriculture. Listen, if any of you all know the Minister of Agriculture, you can tell him for me. I was trying to reach him for a couple of months. you could. So Sparky, I know what you're talking about. You could tell him for me. I was trying to reach him for. So it ain't just you, Sparky.
Me, a lot of the farmers would just get their property. All of them complaining about the same thing.
Okay, so Minister, you need to reach out. You need to have your ministry reach out to these people with these properties so they could begin their farm. Since we say we wanna increase farm productivity in the country. And these are smaller farm operations that can add to the farm produce, right?
That's what it's all about. That's what I rowing about, and I got to keep rowing.
Well, listen, man, say it, say, make your, just do it respectfully and say your say. No problem, just like you did today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me tell you all something. Sparky was just complaining about trying to reach folks at the ministry, in particular the Ministry of Agriculture. I know how life happens when you get in cabinet. I do know. I mean, honestly, you get very busy. You get, you know, very busy. But ministers have to be careful. They have to be careful to monitor the public's perception of the responsiveness of their ministries to the public, especially those people who are stakeholders in their particular ministries. Again, it doesn't have to be that a minister or the ministry is trying to be unresponsive, but it's irrelevant if you're not trying to be unresponsive if it appears that you are unresponsive. And just remember that when you are out there telling people how important your ministry is, how important your work is, how important what you're attempting to do is, but the perception by your stakeholders is that I can't reach you, I'm not hearing from you, you're not moving on things. The perception is that your rhetoric is not being matched by your deeds. I have been in that environment where you get on these talk shows, you get in the press, and you really passionately talk about what you're doing, and you really believe in what you're doing. But the truth of the matter is, if the ground isn't moving, you're not moving. Your rhetoric might be moving, but your ground isn't moving. And you get your props when the ground moves. So when a Sparky or others are seeing a road done, beginning to plow their fields and so forth, and I don't know what the particular issue is, so I'm just going on what Sparky says, then they get to say, boy, these people really working with us, these people really moving. And then when they hear you speak in the press, they go, oh yeah. They are serious about what they're doing, okay? So you need to be careful. Young ministers, let me tell you, bro, been there, done that, okay? 5 years goes by quickly. Don't let nobody fool you. And I can tell you, I know how it feels when folk are, yes, minister, and you get a particular kind of treatment, and in that space you are comfortable because it's not a hard space. It's a hard space when you're dealing with the public on matters that really agitating them. That's the hard space, and you don't really, it doesn't feel so good having to deal with those. But trust me, That's the work. That's the actual work. That's where the difference is made. That difference is not made substantially at any conference in Rome or any conference in Washington. You are doing things in those places and representing as you ought, but that's not where that real difference is made. That difference is made when a Bahamian stakeholder feels you, experiences your ministry's work. Okay? Time passes by so quickly. It does. All right? And the last thing you want to do as a minister, member of parliament, or senator is have people reach out to you and don't give them the courtesy of a response. Even if the response is, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to get back to you for about a week or two, but that's the last thing you want to do is that. Because it really leaves a bad taste in people's mouths about what you really believe in and what you're really doing. I had an occasion recently to interact with the Port Authority about a farming issue. The Port Authority, Grand Bahama Port Authority, reached out to the president of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, heard back from him. Instantly he acknowledged my letter. And within a couple of days, somebody called from the office to say, yes, we want to talk to you about X, Y, and Z and so forth and so forth. Instantly. Now, what impression you think I gather from their interest in that? I'm not saying that's everybody's experience. It was mine, right? And so guys, ladies, be careful. Be careful, man. Be careful. That pomp and pageantry smells good, it feels good. That's not where the work is. The work is in the ditch. Huh? The work is in the field. The work is in the hot sun, where your people are trying to get things done. And they're not interested in any excuses that you have about why you're busy. They're interested in how you can move their interests along. That's the reality. It's a big lesson I learned from a young man in Fort Shaw. I can tell you all in a minute when I take this call. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Savago, you can hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, hi.
Okay. Boy, Savago, I was starting to believe you was like one of them ministers. Again, I keep calling and calling and couldn't get through either.
Well, I don't control the phone, though.
But, Savago, you know what? I wanted to say, to me, it's harder to get elected than to stay elected or to perform the task. But they seem to do it like how it backwards is. Once you get elected, then, okay, now I sit back and do what I want to do or don't forget the people who elected me. Mm. And here it is now. I understand Sparky that, and a lot of people, like, but fortunately, they were given the property. Here it is. I wish I could have get a piece of property. I would put my own road. If I got to go down there doing cutlass and do it myself or whatever, I'd put my own road. But right. Not only to say that, Savago, when I was in Atlanta, I had the decision to come home. Somebody said that to me, why all y'all just going and leaving this country and y'all ain't want your own country? So I made the decision to say, you know what? I can come back here, but it was almost my intention. But I said, you know what? I can bite the bullet and come back here versus going to North Carolina or someplace else where I had another job offer. And I contacted the Ministry of Agriculture. I wanted to get into that. And they said, no problem, no problem. Yes, we want young people to get into it. When I came home, pack up everything. And I said, it is 40 years old. And you know, when I get here, I sat with the, I think it was Cartwright at the time, and he's like, yes, sir. Like, yeah, we glad you came in and all that. The position is yours. But then we had a hold on hiring or any kind of investment. And I just wanted to do where I could learn from the ground up. But it was the Ministry of Finance had a hold on everything. And I was like, Jesus. So I didn't pack up and everything. After about 6 months of getting delayed, I said, boy, I got to do something because I got to feed these children and still help myself. So I had to take a security job. But I'm saying that to say how it's not, like how they give Sparky those the property. Before you do that, you're supposed to have, okay, we can have this plot of land. But before we start signing the stuff, everything needed to be, all the processes and procedures need to be in place where Ministry of Labor or Ministry of Works knows that, okay, we got to put the infrastructure down there before we start giving out parcels of land. You know what I'm saying? So we don't do stuff haphazardly. And then, you know what I mean? Like, so...
Listen. The Ministry of Agriculture really ought not to have any excuses about how long it takes to review the grant of agricultural lands and then to go and cut a road for these people to access the land. I mean, let's be serious, though. Seriously do it?
Right.
Like, if the government issues you land, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's a process for that land grant. And the Ministry of Agriculture and those have been doing this for years. So it's been now, election was won. When? Last year, what time? When?
A year ago, yeah.
Yeah, almost a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need a year to look at a piece of property and say, yeah, a piece of document and say, yeah, this is a legitimate grant. And mm-hmm. yeah, now let's get the people to go do you know what? Listen to me. If I were in government today, it wouldn't take me 2 days to get a contractor down by that property to cut wood.
Right. And then, like I said, and then you got BPL, because you can need power. You know you can need power and you can need water.
Man, they just want the road cut for the moment because you have light to start to grow your stuff. And you don't need no BPL.
Right.
Now, maybe they need to do something with water. But my point is, brother, listen to me. I could guarantee you, if the Prime Minister of the Bahamas said today, listen, y'all get them some road cut down the road there, you watch and see how far that's a tractor will be out there.
Yeah. Chicago, just off topic a little bit right now, but I know you're a place that don't know pretty much everything. What's the
No. I know some things.
Pardon?
I know some things, not everything. Some things.
Help me with this. What's the procedure of getting something trademarked in the Bahamas, like an idea, a business idea, what's the procedure that they require? You know,
I believe it's the Registrar General's office, mm-hmm. But there's a trademark law. There's actually a law that covers that, and so I think either between the Registrar General's office and the Attorney General's office, you can get the information on that. I really don't know the specifics, but you certainly can.
Okay, then. Okay. Once again, man, I really appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you calling. Okay. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, we will continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Chef, that's you?
Hey, Kay, how you doing?
Good. I hear you expanding. That's true?
Yeah, so now you can eat at and own a slice of the gyro.
I like that. What do I need to get started?
Go to awakx.com, pick tropical gyros, and click invest. It's that easy.
Is it expensive?
No, man. You can invest with just $9 a share with a minimum of 4 shares.
That's it? Man, I'm going online now. Go to awakx.com today to invest in tropical gyro. For more info, call 603-5270 or email invest@awakx.com.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So glad you could join us today. For our last caller, I'm reading from Chapter 322 of the Trademarks Act of the Bahamas, Chapter 322, and it says application for trademark. And it says that any person, hold on, I can find it for you now. You read exactly what it says for you. It says, any person claiming to be the proprietor of a trademark who is desirous of registering the same must apply in writing to the registrar in a prescribed manner. And the registrar, in this instance, means the registrar general. All right. So you go to the registrar general's office and prescribe in the whatever the forms is that they require to register your trademark. That's how you do it. This text says we need to understand how an economy works. There is very little the government can do about inflation. If the government lowers the taxes to assist, that means that some other area will suffer. There's no free lunch. The only money the government has is what they collect in taxes from its citizens. Governments always boast about no new taxes. However, taxes are increased every year as a result of government borrowing. We need to increase productivity and control expenditure, says that texter. Okay, thank you very much for that. We have a text here. This text was giving that information. It says trademarks at the Registrar General Office. Yes, that's what I just read. Thank you. It says have meetings with the major purchasers, give them tax breaks on imports to be able to store up now for that period on mostly food items, which is the most needed items. Another solution is public education on what and what not a government can or can't do. Very good. Okay. There you go. So agriculture could take advantage of this particular period of time to emphasize the need for local produce and these kinds of things to kind of should try to really accelerate any kinds of programs that they have. Any kind of programs that they have going on that can help people, assist people with pursuing their agricultural endeavors. You know, this is a time for it. This is, even if it doesn't immediately help the inflation situation, it will help people feel empowered about improving their circumstances. So I think that, you don't waste a crisis. Don't waste it. It's here. You have to deal with it. What do we learn? How do we adapt? How do we adjust? And that's not just on the government side. That's on the individual consumer side. Let me tell you all how serious I am about trying to ensure that I do my part to to mitigate the impact of inflation. Let me show you how I'm doing my part, right? I normally buy a bag of ice and keep in my freezer, right? Because I like ice with my water. I like ice with my drinks. And so I normally buy a bag of ice. But a bag of ice is like almost $4, right? That'll last me, it could last me a couple of months, maybe a month or so, right? A bag of ice, depending on how regularly I am at home. It might not last me less. So I said, you know, I'm buying no bag of ice no more. Inflation come. So what do? You know those little ice trays that you make ice cubes off? Okay. All it takes is a little dedication. So I fill up my trays, make my ice, take that ice out. I put it in a bag, a plastic bag. I go fill it up again, put it back in the freezer. Next day, I take the ice out. So now I have a bag full of my ice cubes made. And so I'm doing that regularly. Now I don't have to buy a bag of ice. Do whatever you can do. You know what I mean? Save you a couple of dollars so you can spend your dollars on where you are spending as opposed to where you have to spend it because things are getting more costly and what have you, right? So there's always things you can do. And involve your family, involve your children, involve your spouse in the exercise because sometimes they do things that make the situation worse. And then sometimes they can do things that make the situation better. And if you discuss it and you get people conscientious of the kinds of things that they could do to help, then it makes life easier on you. When you explain, listen, I'm not buying this anymore, or I'm not buying it in that quantity anymore because the price of it has gone up. And so we're trying to save some money. And, you know, their cooperation makes a difference to how you feel about what's going on. Because rather than being confrontational about the issue, another rouse about the issue, you can just cooperate and try to get it done. You know what I mean? But there are little neat things you could do around your household and in your family that can be more impactful on your situation than anything the government could do. This text is using your zero water, I assume. Actually, the water in Freeport is actually potable water. And so I don't use my zero water for ice making. I use the zero water for water drinking because, you know, the couple of cubes of ice, I don't think it's going to be any challenge, but it's potable water in Freeport. And it is actually reasonably good water, even though the zero water does make it better, right? This text says, good day, good idea. Yes, you can also fill regular cups up halfway and freeze it. Yes. If you use it for water, you just empty and reuse. Absolutely. You can do that kind of thing too. Again, it all helps. It's summer. I bathe in cold water. Right now, my water is heated with propane, right? So, but still, you know what I mean? I'm saving propane by bathing in cold water, which is normally lukewarm. It's summer. Why am I taking a hot shower in the summer? So, you know, that helps too, you know? I cook some rice. I have a meal, me and my son, maybe some family members, we have a meal and some rice is left over. I'm not throwing that rice out. I don't care if it's pork cake. Do you know that pork cake ain't nothing but dehydrated rice? So if you take a little bit of water and you treat that rice properly, you got rice again. Leftover rice, folks, is also very good for making shrimp fried rice or fried rice or any fried rice. You could be any fried rice, but leftover rice is the best for making fried rice. So if you want to doctor up the rice, you use it for fried rice. Again, that way you don't waste it. Okay? So you can do many of things. This text says, I also reuse any disposable plates I reuse to avoid washing a lot of dishes. You simply wipe clean. Yes, I do that too. I use disposable plates and cups, right? Nah, it's not extreme. I do it too because, you know, it saves on water. It saves on time, saves on washing. You know what I mean? Because you know how we go. Also, I emptied my cupboards of too many plates and my drawers of too many cutleries and utensils. You know why? Because it's easier to just simply keep taking plates when you need want to eat or do something out of the cupboard if it has lots of plates in it than it is to have like two or three or four plates in there and you just, you wash them as you need them because there's fewer of them. So, and I found with kids in particular, if you have lots of plates around, they're just going to keep, or cups and stuff, they're just going to keep using. So if you just have, like it's just me and my son, oftentimes, if you just have two cups, it's my cup and this cup. How many cups are we ever going to have to wash? Two cups. How many plates are we ever going to have to wash? Two plates, right? How many forks are we ever going to have to wash? Well, maybe four forks. So again, it's like everybody's innocent for everybody, but for people who want to make a difference for themselves, these are some things you might try. It's Texas. Good day, Mr. Lang. What are the procedures of the government giving a bus fare increases, is considering that this was something that was discussed before Mr. Ingram lost the election some years ago? I remember Mr. Ingram was preparing to do it. So what do you think is delaying the process after all? The process is very simple. You go to cabinet, the Minister of Transport goes to cabinet and asks the cabinet for permission to do so. And if the cabinet agrees, they do so. If the cabinet does not agree, then it is not agreed to. So it's a cabinet decision. That's really the process. A cabinet paper requesting the consideration, agreement by cabinet, and then the follow through by the road traffic department of an increase if the cabinet agrees. This text says, Mr. Lang, you is a big time and your fridge don't make ice. You don't need to buy ice. Laugh or laugh. No, man, my fridge don't make no ice. I know big timer. I have a very normal fridge. When you see me buy my next fridge, I ain't buying it on no borrowing. I ain't buying it on no credit. I buy me an outright fridge. So I have a very normal fridge. It meets all of my needs. It cools my water. It makes ice for me, not automatically. It makes ice for me in cubes, and it cools my drinks, and it keeps my vegetables fresh, and I'm good, solid good. I'm not a big time. I want you all to know. You only hear me tell you I try a paso. Boy, I go to the food store my own self. Go there, and I don't shop. I don't shop in bulk. I'm not wasting no. I'm not letting no celery spoil on me. No sweet pepper spoil on me. I buy what I need to cook for like the week. And I've already kind of plotted out in my head what I'm going to do. And that's what I do. So I'm not waste too many things and no refrigerator at all. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, it's been good talking to you. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Y'all take care.